So today I'm going to talk about one sutta from Sanyutta Nikaya. The name of sutta is Oka Tarana Sutta. The discourse on crossing the flood. And this discourse is a conversation between Buddha and one of the devata. Buddha was residing at Jetavana Vihara in Savatthi in India. And one of the devata, he came to visit Buddha to ask a question. So when he arrived at Jetavana Vihara, he paid respect to the Buddha and asked a question that, Bhante, how do you cross the flood? That is the question. How do you cross the flood? So, flood. The Pali word for flood is oka. And the oka, the meaning of oka is the dhammas which overwhelm beings. That is the oka. That is called oka in Pali. Or the dhammas which can make beings sink down to the four lower states. So those dhammas are called the oka, the flood. In the world, when there is flood, it takes everything with them and makes things sink or drown. In the same way, the oka, the flood, can take beings down to the lower states. So there are four types of oka. The first one is kama oka. Kama oka, the flood of sensuality. Kama is a sensual desire for sensual objects. Whenever we see some visible objects, and if we like that visible object, then we will have a desire for it. We will have an attachment to that visible object, and that attachment, that desire, is called kama oka. And of the same way, when we hear some sweet sounds, when we have a fragrant smells, when we have a tasty foods, and when we have a very good tangible objects, there arises an attachment and desire for it. So that desire for the sense objects is called the flood of sensuality. Because when we have these kinds of sensual pleasures, we will not be satisfied with what we have now. We want more and more better sense objects, sensual pleasures. We will have a more desire for the sensual objects, and we will be trying to get more better sensual objects. So that attachment or that desire is overwhelming us all the time. That's why this desire for sense objects is called the flood of sensuality. And the second one is bhavoka, a flood of existence. Bhava existence. So here the existence means not all the existences. Existence means here the rupa and arupa in Pali, that is the form sphere existence and formless sphere existence. Beings who are born in this form sphere existence and formless sphere existence, they are enjoying their life in those existences. They are enjoying the jhanas in those existences, but they are not contented with the jhanas they are having right at that moment. They are always wishing for the higher jhanas. So all the time they are enjoying those jhanas, and the lifespan in those existences are very, very long. So they have an attachment to the jhana, to jhana attachment. So after the life, when their lifespan finish in those existences, they will be reborn in the lower realms. So this desire for the jhana in those existences, that desire is also overwhelming those beings. So the desire for the existences is also one kind of flood. And the third one is dittoga, a flood of wrong view. Not believing in Triple Gems, Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. Not believing in karma and karma results. When we do good karma, we will have a good results. When we do bad karma, we will have to face the bad results. But people are not believing in karma and karma results. And that is the wrong view. And also, they have a view that paying respect to the elders, paying respect to the parents, taking care of parents is also, is not a wholesome deed. Whether you did wholesome deed or unwholesome deed, you don't need to worry for it, because you don't need to face the result of these wholesome and unwholesome deeds. After the death, everything will be finished. So when people have that kind of view, that kind of wrong view, then they will not avoid doing unwholesome deeds, and also they will not perform wholesome deeds. So because they are not performing wholesome deeds, and they are avoiding, they are doing unwholesome deeds, because of that, after the death, they will born in the lower states. So that's why this wrong view is also the one of the flood. And the fourth flood is Awizogo, the Awiza, or the flood of ignorance. Ignorance, not knowing. Two types of ignorance, the not knowing and knowing in wrong way. Not knowing the true natures, the true tamas, not knowing the four noble truths, and knowing in wrong way means people will think the wrong thing, they will take a wrong thing as a right and the right thing as a wrong, so in opposite way. So that is the ignorance, the flood of ignorance. So there are four flood: the flood of sensuality, the flood of existence, the flood of wrong view, and the flood of ignorance. So when those unwholesome dhammas, when those four types of flood are strongly arising in one's mind, then one will not be able to come out from the realm of existence, and one will not be able to reach the Nibbana. It keeps the floods, they keep beings submerged in with the realm of existence, and they do not allow them to rise up to the higher states and to the Nibbana. So the Devata asks Buddha, how did you cross these four types of floods? And Buddha replied to the Devata that by not halting and by not straining, I crossed the flood. By not stand still and by not struggling, I crossed those four types of Oga flood. And when Buddha replied that way, the Devata could not understand what does the Buddha mean. The Devata, he thinks that normally when people cross a flood, they cross a flood by halting in places that offer a footstand and by straining in places that must be crossed. But the Buddha said that he crossed the flood by not halting and by not straining. So what does it mean? He becomes confused. And Buddha purposely replied in that manner so that the Devata could not understand it clearly. So there is a reason why Buddha replied in that confused manner. Why did Buddha reply in that way? Because this Devata is a very proud. He has a conceit. He thinks highly of himself. He thinks himself that he is very intelligent. He thinks that I know many things. I know almost everything. There is only a few things that I don't know. So if Buddha give answer in very short way, if Buddha say in just few words, I would be able to understand the meaning. So he has a conceit. And he thinks that I know what is the ogre. What does ogre means? I know. And also I know that Buddha has already crossed the ogre, the floods. Only one thing I don't know, that how did Buddha cross the ogre? So, because he is proud, he has a conceit, so even though Buddha will reply in a clear-cut manner so that he could understand it very easily, but this devata will not agree with the Buddha. The devata will not be able to accept the Buddha's answer because he has a conceit. He is very proud. So it is very necessary to suppress him, suppress his conceit. Otherwise, the devata will not agree with Buddha, or he will have some akusala, unwholesome mind. That's why Buddha reply in the way so that the devata will be in confusion, and he will ask again. So the devata again asks the Buddha, how did you cross the flood by not halting, by not straining? How did you cross the flood? Then Buddha replied him that when I came to stand still, then I sank. When I struggled, I got swept away. That is why I crossed the flood by not halting, by not straining. So we have to understand what Buddha means. He crossed the flood by not halting and by not straining. He crossed the flood on another way. So we have to understand this. He did not stay, the Buddha, he did not stay, stand still. Because if he stays stand still, if he's standing still, then he sank. And also he is not putting effort. He is not struggling to cross the flood. He's not putting effort. If he puts effort, then he is swept away. So what does it mean that he is not standing still? And what does it mean that he is not struggling, he is not putting effort to cross the flood? So here we should understand the three types of karma, the deeds. The first one is akusala karma, the unwholesome deeds. The unwholesome deeds we are doing by physically, verbally, and mentally. We are doing akusala karmas. And when we do akusala karmas, these akusala karmas will drag us to the lower states. So when we born in the lower states, the lifespan in the lower states are very, very long. So it is like we are standing still in those lower states. That's why Buddha said that he did not cross the flood by standing still. And another type of kamma is in Pali, watagami kusala kamma, the wholesome deed that leads to the circle of suffering. We are doing different types of wholesome deeds. Generosity, we are keeping morality, sila. So when we do those generosity, dana, and keep sila, if our purpose of doing those wholesome deeds are to be reborn in the good realms, like a human life or the deva world, if our objective is to reborn in the human world and deva world, then that type of wholesome deed is called watagami wholesome deed, means the wholesome deed that leads us to the circle of suffering. Because when we do wholesome deeds with the objective of reborning in human world and the deva world, and because of that wholesome deed, we reborn in human world and the deva world. And once we reborn here, we have to face the different types of sufferings again, the old age, sickness, death. So we are like traveling in the human world and deva world. We do wholesome deeds again with the objective of being reborn again in the human world and deva world for the happiness of the human happiness and the deva happiness. And we reborn there means we are traveling in the human world and the deva world all the time. Like it's we are putting effort to reborn in the human world and deva world. So this type of wholesome deed is called the watagami wholesome deed. And another type of wholesome deed is called vivatagami wholesome deeds. The wholesome deeds that leads to the cessation of circle of suffering. When we do the wholesome deeds like a dana or sila, etc., if our purpose of doing this wholesome deed is nibbana, we are making aspiration that by doing this dana and sila, these wholesome deeds, may be the cause in attaining path and fruition knowledge and nibbana. So if we are doing wholesome deeds in that way, that means that wholesome deed is leading us to the cessation of the circle of suffering. That is why it is called the vivatagami wholesome deed. And another type of wholesome deed, or the best wholesome deed that leads us to the cessation of the circle of suffering, is Satipatthana Bhavana, the mindfulness meditation that all of you are doing here. So mindfulness meditation is the best wholesome deed that leads us to the cessation of the circle of suffering. So there are three types of this, those wholesome deeds, those kammas. The akusala kamma, unwholesome deed. If we do akusala kamma, we will reborn in the four lower states, and we won't have a chance to accumulate any kind of wholesome deeds, both the vatagami or vivatagami, any kind of wholesome deeds in the four lower states, because life in four lower states are very, very suffering. And the lower states are free of happiness, but full of suffering. So because when we are suffered too much, we couldn't have, we couldn't think about the wholesome deeds. So there is no chance to do wholesome deeds in lower states. So they have to stay in the lower states as long as the unwholesome deeds gives results. So it is like sinking in the flood. And the wholesome deeds that leads to the circle of suffering, we are traveling in the human world and deva world all the time. But unfortunately, we might commit some unwholesome deeds. We might do some unwholesome deeds. And we again, that we might fall under lower states as a result of that unwholesome deeds. So doing the wholesome deeds, which leads to the circle of suffering, is also have no guarantee for our life. So we have to perform the best wholesome deed, that is the Satipatthana practice. That is why the Buddha said that we have to avoid the unwholesome deeds. His main teaching is the sabbapapassa akaranam. We have to avoid doing papa, the unwholesome deeds. We have to perform the wholesome deeds, kusalasa upasampada. In wholesome deeds also, we have to perform the wholesome deeds that leads us to the cessation of the circle of suffering, that is the Satipatthana Bhavana. So Buddha replied to the Buddha replied to the Devata that he has crossed the flood by practicing Satipatthana Bhavana, the Satipatthana mindfulness meditation, not doing the akusala, unwholesome deeds, not struggling and not performing only the wholesome deeds, vatagami wholesome deeds. When we do Satipatthana meditation, the mindfulness meditations, we are noting every arising objects at that very moment. So when we are able to note the objects arising at that very moment, there will be no chance for this greed or anger or delusion to arise. There won't be any attachment to the existence. When our noting mind becomes concurrent with the object of meditation, we will be able to see able to know the very true nature of the object. So at that time, there won't be any akusala, unwholesome mental states arising. That's why this satipatthana, wholesome deed, is a very good wholesome deed to cross the flood of defilements. While we do sitting meditation, we are focusing on the primary object of rising and falling of the abdomen. We try our best to follow the whole process of rising and falling from the very beginning to the end. When our mind is fall on the whole process of this rising and falling, there won't be any chance for the defilements. And also in walking meditation, when we are putting effort to note every lifting, moving, and placing movement from the very beginning to the end, our mind will be concurrent with that object. We are knowing the true natures arising, occurring at that moment of lifting, moving, and placing. So there won't be any unwholesome mental states. So this satipatthana way is the best way to cross the flood and to be able to practice this satipatthana meditation. We should develop the noble eightfold path. Now we are developing this noble eightfold path. The first one is samadhi, right view. In the practice, when our noting mind is fall on the object of observation, when mind and object become very concurrent, we come to see the true natures. We come to see the difference between mind and matter. We can discriminate the mental and physical, mind and matter. And if we continue practicing, we will come to see the cause and effect relationship of mental and physical phenomena. And if you continue practicing with the full effort, the mindfulness will become stronger, the concentration will be developed, and we will come to see the arising and passing away nature of those mind, those mental and physical phenomena. Every mental and physical phenomena, they are arising and passing away moment by moment. And because they are arising and passing away all the time, it is a kind of suffering, the dukkha nature. And because they are arising and passing away all the time and they are suffering, they are anatta, a non-self. They are occurring in their, they are happening in their own effort. So we come to see the three characteristics of mental and physical phenomena: the impermanence nature, the suffering nature, and the non-self nature. So that is the samadhi, right view. And another factor of Noble Eightfold Path is the Samma Sankappa, that is the right thought, but actually it is focusing or aiming the object. So whenever we try to note the objects, we should have an aiming. And if we can aim the object, then only we come to see the true nature of the object, because the noting mind is concurrent with the object. So samadhi, the right view, will arise with the support of samasankappa. And this samasankappa, if there is no samasankappa, no right thoughts, then there will not be the right view, the samadhi. And samadhi and samasankappa is the wisdom group in Eight Noble Path. And the third one is, third factor of Eight Noble Path is the Samma Vacca, then the Samma Kammanta, and the Samma Ajiva, means the right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Right speech, when we keep the precepts, when we avoid the unwholesome speech, the four types of unwholesome speech, lying, slandering, harsh speech, and frivolous talk, then it means there is a right speech. And the right action, when we are avoiding the unwholesome actions of killing, stealing, and sexual misconduct, then there is a right action, samakamanta. And if we are living our life in a right way, that is the right livelihood, samajiva. So these three factors are in the sila group. And if there is no the sila, then there won't be a panya. So the sila group is also very important. Yesterday I talked about the sila. Sila is like a mouth, or the sila is the foundation. So it is the base for the panya, wisdom, to arise. That's why the sila, maganga, the three factors of Eightfold Noble Path, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, is also very important. And another factor is samavayama, right effort. Right effort is noting every arising objects continuously without missing. So that is the effort, right effort. And because of right effort, there will be the right mindfulness, samasati. The mind, the noting mind will be close to the object. The noting mind will fall on the object. That is the right mindfulness. And another factor is samasamadhi, the right concentration. When we put effort on noting every arising objects without missing, the mind will fall on the objects and it will stay calm and collected on the object. That is the right concentration, samasamadhi. So this right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration is in the samadhi concentration group. And without a support of this concentration group, right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration, there won't be panya. There will not arise a panya group, the right view and the right thought. So only if there is sila and samadhi, the panya will arise. And while we are practicing, this Eightfold Noble Path, and when this Eightfold Noble Path becomes very matured, then we will realize the path and fruition knowledge, and we will be able to reach the Nibbana. So to reach the Nibbana, to cross the flood of defilements, this Satipatthana Bhavana, the practice, the mindfulness meditation, developing the Eightfold Noble Path is the very best way. So here, we can see that the unwholesome deeds are the dhammas, that is standing still, and it is sinking in the four lower states. The wholesome deeds that leads us to the circle of suffering is struggling dhammas, whirling in the samsara, and that will brings us to the human world and the deva world. And wholesome deeds that leads us to the cessation of circle of suffering, that is the Satipatthana practice, will bring us to the Nibbana. And Buddha has encouraged the people who would like to attain the Nibbana. In one sutta, in Sandana Sutta, Buddha has said that one who wants to cross the flood, which is very hard to cross, and one who wants to reach to the Nibbana, one should always perfect in sila morality. Sabbada sila sampanno in Pali. One should always be perfect in morality. And one should endow with the wisdom. And one should, one is well concentrated. Panyava susamahito. When a person is well concentrated, then the wisdom will be there. One will be endowed with the wisdom, and one should have effort. One should be energetic and resolute. If one is practicing continuously without missing the objects, so if the person is fulfilled in these three factors, then one will be able to cross the flood, which is very hard to cross. So in crossing the flood, or in practicing meditation, the effort is the very important, the most important thing. one should have three types of effort in the practice. When yogis, when the meditators start to do the meditations, they start to note the rising and falling of the abdomen, the primary objects. They should have an effort in noting the primary objects. They should have an effort whenever their mind wanders. They should have an effort to note the pains. So that is the first type of effort that they should have. When practice goes on, the meditators sometimes encounter with some difficult situations in the practice. When they have very painful feelings, they become lazy, they don't want to practice anymore, they just want to give up. And sometimes at the beginning of practice, they might feel very lazy, they feel very sleepy all the time. So when that type of difficulties arise in the practice, if they don't boost off their effort, they will not be able to overcome those difficulties. So they should boost up the effort. That effort is very necessary. So if they are able to boost up the effort, they will be able to overcome all difficulties they are facing in the practice. And their practice will become very smooth, very good. They will be able to experience the taste of Dhamma. So when they experience the taste of Dhamma, then again they have to put effort in the practice to continue so that they can realize the path and fruits and knowledge. So they should have effort, the stage-by-stage effort in the practice. So the meditators should have these three types of practice, which is very important. Without this practice, without this effort, there won't be any mindfulness, any concentration, and wisdom. So we are very lucky that we have a chance to practice this meditation, the Satipatthana meditation, to cross the flood of defilements the way Buddha has crossed it. And we are very lucky to be born as a human being, because if we born in the lower states, we will not have any chance to practice this meditation. And also, if we born in the Deva world, then still we may not be able to practice this Satipatthana meditation, because in Deva world they have a lot of sensual pleasures, and when enjoying those sensual pleasures, they will not remember to practice. The human world is the best place to practice, to perform the wholesome deeds. Buddha has said in one sutta that human world is far better than Deva world, because in human world we have both happiness and suffering mixing. So if we want to practice in the human world, we can easily practice, because we don't have to suffer like in the lower states, and we don't have so much sensual pleasures like in the Deva world. So human world is a very best place to perform the wholesome deeds that leads us to the cessation of suffering. So we have to utilize wisely the opportunity that we are getting now, we are having now. So may you all be able to cross the flood of defilements by practicing or by performing the Vivuttakami Kusala, by practicing this Satipatthana meditation. That's all for today.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.